This is The Best Revenge is Kissing Well, written by Tardigrape and read by Tipsy Kitty. Ed checks his phone. Steed is late. It's not a big deal. Steed works late sometimes. But he usually lets Ed know when he's running late to their happy hour meetups. Such as they are, anyway. Ed orders their usual coffees, a creme brulee for himself, and a slice of orange glazed cake for Steed. So what if their happy hour isn't like other people's? It suits them. Ed slides into their usual table. He'll wait to start on the desserts until Steed arrives, but he doesn't want his coffee to get cold. He's only taken a couple of sips when Steed comes in and heads for the table. Steed sits down, setting his coat and scarf on the bench next to him, radiating an air of anxiety like Ed has never seen. "I ordered for you," Ed says. "Hope orange cake is okay." "Thanks," Steed says. "I'm sure it's fab." Somehow he looks no less anxious. Ed raises his brows. "Hard day?" Steed twists his hands, his gaze on the table. Ed, who'd been about to dig into his dessert, puts down his spoon. "Steed?" "I have a favor to ask you," Steed says, finally looking up, but he quickly looks away. "Okay." Now Ed is a bit anxious. "What is this about?" "Well, you see, there's this New Year's Eve party this weekend, and I really have to go. It's the badmintons, and you know how influential they are with the schools. If I don't keep in their good graces, Alma and Lewis will never get in anywhere good." He's still twisting his hands.
"Okay."
Steed looks up, opens his mouth, then closes it and looks back down at the table. He takes a sip of coffee. "I need you to come with me, as my date."
"As your date," Ed echoes,
suddenly as anxious as Steed. "Yes, and..." Steed twists his hand some more. "I have to confess something." He looks up, his eyes bright, brows pinched together. "I've sort of, for a while now, been pretending you're my boyfriend." Ed's heartbeat speeds. The sounds of the cafe seem to fade into a distant, dull roar. A thousand questions race through his mind, but all that comes out of his mouth is a choked squeak. Steed says in a rush, "I'm sorry, Ed. I should have talked to you about it sooner, or not done it at all. It's just that since I came out, these people, every time they see me, they tell me about some gay man that they know, or that their mother or their cousin or their friend knows, and try to set me up with them. I just couldn't take it anymore. So," he swallows, "we have all these photos of us together on Instagram, and, well, I needed a good reason I wasn't available to go on the dates they were trying to set up." Ed grips the table with both hands. Steed has been pretending Ed is his boyfriend. For a while.
"How long?"
Steed grimaces. "About 3 months."
"3 months?"
"I'm sorry, Ed. I really am." Steed looks near tears. "No, hey, mate, it's..." Ed takes a deep breath, tries to slow his pounding heart.
"It's okay, I get it. Straight people are dicks."
Steed lets out a breath. "They really are." He smiles. "Thank you for being so understanding."
"Of course."
Ed nods, picks up his spoon, and digs into his creme brulee, pretending everything is fine. Pretending this isn't some sort of mashup of all his dreams and nightmares coming true at once. Pretending he isn't smothering a desperate fluttering in his chest that flared to life at the word boyfriend on Steed's lips. Dousing that flame with the cold reminder that it's a lie. It isn't real. Steed doesn't want Ed. He just needs him to play along.
"So tell me all about it. What do you need from me?"
Steed's anxiety visibly melts away. "Oh, it shouldn't be all that much. Just come with me to the party, have some drinks, make small talk. You don't have to do anything unusual. You already know me really well, so we don't have to come up with any crazy stories or anything. If anyone asks, we'll say we were friends. Easy, since we are. And that it just sort of became more at some point." Ed stuffs a spoonful of creme brulee into his mouth despite his stomach being tied in a solid knot. So many points in the months he's known Steed that he felt like they had a moment when their friendship could have become more. Watching the sunset while the waves licked at their ankles at the beach. Steed clinging to Ed's arm on the sky drop at the traveling carnival.
dashing under an awning during a sudden downpour and huddling until the rain let up. Steed falling asleep on Ed's shoulder as they watched movies on weekends, at least a dozen times. Ed gently nudging him awake, looking into hazel eyes blinking sleepily at him, and nearly giving in to the urge to kiss him every time. "So is it fancy, this shindig?" he asks, shoving those thoughts aside. "Not formal, no. Party attire." "With your rich fuck friends," Ed waves his spoon at Steed. "I'm not sure what party attire entails." "They're hardly my friends," Steed mutters. "Anyway, don't worry about finding something to wear. I'll take you shopping. Least I can do, since I'm dragging you into this." "Oh, man, you don't have to."
"I insist," Steed smiles. "You've been such a good sport about this all, honestly. At least let me get you some new clothes."
Ed agrees, and Steed's smile grows. His anxiety clearly gone, he eagerly eats his cake, exclaiming delightedly about the flavor. Ed's creme brulee, however, sits heavy in his stomach. He's going to have to spend an entire evening pretending to be in love with Steed, while pretending not to be in love with Steed. How the fuck is he going to survive this? The next evening, they skip their usual happy hour in favor of shopping for party outfits. Steed picks Ed up and drives them both to a boutique Ed would probably never even bother to look at on his own. The shop bell tinkles as they enter, and a man approaches them.
"Hi," he says with a grin. "What can I do for you?"
"Steed Bonnet. I called earlier."
"Oh, yes, Mr. Bonnet. And Mr. Teach. It's great to meet you. I'm Lucius."
The man steps aside and sweeps his arm wide. "Please, make yourselves comfortable. Have a look around. I've picked some exquisite looks for you to begin with. I'll go get them. Be right back." He disappears behind a velvet curtain. Ed looks around. The shop has several displays, all brightly colored and dramatically patterned. Some of the clothes are covered in rhinestones.
"This seems rather extreme for a cocktail party," Ed says, fingering a gold silk brocade jacket.
"I'm the token gay man at this party, and you're my boyfriend," Steve replies. "They expect us to be over the top. Let's have fun with it."
"You're my boyfriend," hits Ed like a punch to the solar plexus. He takes a moment to get his breath before nodding.
"Yeah, right. So what do you want? Should we match?"
"I don't think we need to go quite that far," Steed says. "As long as our outfits complement each other, I think it'll be fine."
Just then, Lucius pushes aside the curtain, wheeling in a rolling clothes rack. Ed and Steed take seats in plush wingback chairs to look at the outfits. Lucius pulls the clothes out one outfit at a time. There are so many, and they're so wildly varied, Ed can't even begin to make a decision. There are jackets in gold and emerald and scarlet and fuchsia, in silk and velvet and sequins and brocade. They have waistcoats and ascots and brooches and suspenders. Ed usually wears black. He's been wearing the same leather jacket since 2002.
"Anything catch your fancy?" Steed asks.
Ed shrugs. "I don't..."
Just then, Lucius holds up a velvet suit. The jacket is a rich purple with gold lapels. It has a gold waistcoat and a deep purple shirt to go with it. Ed stands.
"Would you like to try it on?"
Lucius holds the suit out to him. "It really is your color, honestly." Ed glances back at Steed. Steed smiles widely.
"Well, let's see it, Ed."
Lucius shows Ed into a small changing room. "Just let me know if you need anything." Ed slips out of his own clothes and into the suit. It's a nearly perfect fit, as though it were made for him. The velvet is incredibly plush, and the shirt, Ed finds, is smooth, light silk. He steps out of the changing room, arms wide.
"What do you think?"
Steed's eyes dance. "Ed, you look absolutely incredible." He stands and comes to Ed's side, tugging him toward a large set of mirrors. Ed eyes his reflection. The purple and gold do look fantastic together, but the overall effect is pretty intense.
"You don't think it's too much?"
"I think you look rather dashing," Steed says softly, his eyes meeting Ed's in the reflection. "Perhaps you could wear your hair up." Ed feels his heart rate pick up as Steed gathers his hair in his hands,
tugging it into a loose bunch at the back of Ed's head. The gentle sweep of his fingers against Ed's scalp sends shivers over his skin. If you have a gold necklace you could wear, that would go very well, Steed says, brushing his fingers over Ed's throat. Ed's breath stops. With some effort, he inhales.
Yeah,
he nods, clearing his throat.
Think I do.
Perfect. Steed lets Ed's hair fall loose again. He steps away and turns back to Lucius, oblivious to the crisis he's just caused. Ed ducks back into the changing room, closing his eyes and breathing deeply. He's coming apart at the smallest of touches. How the fuck is he going to manage pretending to be Steed's boyfriend for an entire night? Too late to back out now, though. And anyway, Ed doesn't want to leave Steed in the lurch. What Steed said about the badmintons is right. They do hold tremendous sway with all the schools. And Steed already has an uphill battle just because he's gay. Ed can't really blame Steed for making up a story to try to save a little face. And of all the people he could have pretended to be boyfriends with, he chose Ed. That's something, right? Ed changes back into his regular clothes, then waits as Steed tries on several outfits. Steed eventually settles on a white silk suit with silver brocade and emerald lapels, with a silver and emerald checkerboard waistcoat over a silver silk shirt. Steed buys both suits, and Lucius sends them off with a cheery wave. Suits acquired, Steed drives Ed home again. Thanks again for being such a good sport about all this, he says as Ed is getting out.
Yeah, mate, of course, Ed replies. That's what friends are for, right?
Ed can't be sure, but Steed's smile seems almost sad.
Right.
Steed picks Ed up again the night of the party. By the time they pull up to the badminton's mansion, Ed is beginning to question his choice of a velvet suit. His palms are sweating furiously, but he can't wipe them dry on his trouser legs without risking the fabric. He settles for rubbing them together instead, which doesn't help much. Steed parks, and they both step out.
How do you want to play this?
Ed asks, shoving aside his anxieties.
In terms of showing affection.
Oh, I hadn't thought. Steed blinks. What would you do if you were actually my boyfriend?
So much.
Ed would pull Steed close and keep his arms around him all night. He'd kiss him until he couldn't breathe. He'd drag him back into the car, race home, and sprint into the bedroom with him. He hopes his thoughts don't show on his face.
Hold your hand, maybe?
Steed smiles and slips his hand into Ed's, twining their fingers together. Perfect. Ed's heart jumps into his throat. He swallows it back down as Steed turns and leads him toward the door. Ed resists looking down at their clasped hands. This is just a cover story. Just pretend. Just for tonight. The door is answered by an actual servant, for fuck's sake. Ed and Steed have hardly made it over the threshold when they're accosted by a woman in a tight black dress. Steed, so glad you could make it. She turns to Ed, but still speaks to Steed. And this must be your boyfriend. I was beginning to doubt he actually existed.
Yes, this is Ed,
Steed says icily. Ed gives his hand a small squeeze. Ed, this is Melinda Badminton. Ed nods to Melinda as her gaze flicks over them both. Don't you two look just delightful? Come on through. Nigel's in the parlor. Ed grinds his teeth together as they're dragged through a house dripping in opulence to a huge room with a high ceiling from which hangs a crystal chandelier. People in boring neutral colors stand in small groups, making conversation through smiles that don't reach their eyes. Nigel, Melinda coos at a man with artificially blonde hair. Steed's here with his boyfriend. Ed has been far too many nights turning the word boyfriend over in his mind, holding its syllables softly like spun glass. But somehow this woman makes it sound like a disease. He fights back an urge to step on her pointy little foot. Baby Bonnet, Nigel drawls. And you must be Ed. We've been wondering whether you were even real. Ed pulls his lips into what he hopes resembles a smile, and reminds himself that it's important to Steed to stay on good terms with these people.
Well, here I am, in the flesh.
You certainly are. I owe Chauncey 20, damn it. Nigel chuckles, and Melinda titters. Ed can feel Steed tense beside him. They make a minimum of small talk until, blessedly, someone pulls Nigel's attention away. Ed and Steed take their opportunity to walk as quickly as possible in the opposite direction. I need a drink, Ed mutters once they're out of earshot. Rather, Steed agrees. There's a bar on the other side of the room where a bored-looking bartender serves them both brandy. Before they get very far from the bar with their drinks in hand, though, they're blocked by a man who looks exactly like Nigel, save for the fact that, rather than bleached blonde hair, he has practically none at all. Baby bonnet, he sneers. Steed presses his lips together. Ed places a hand on the small of his back, reminding him he's not alone. Chauncey? Steed says tightly. Chauncey looks pointedly at Ed, then back at Steed. So glad you could make it. And with your little friend, too. A ridiculous thing to say, given that Ed is the same height as Chauncey. Steed merely hums noncommittally and takes a swig of his drink. Chauncey barrels on. I suppose Mary's not here since she has the kids to look after. Do you see your children any more since the divorce, Steed? Yes, of course I see them. I'm their father. Ed slides his hand up Steed's back, letting it rest against his neck, where his fingers can touch Steed's skin. He slips them up into his hairline, rubbing in soothing strokes.
Steed is up half the night wrapping their gifts from Santa on Christmas Eve, aren't you, love?
He feels Steed relax a bit beneath his touch. It was worth it to see their faces Christmas morning.
Indeed, Chauncey says. Well, I should go find Nigel.
He glances at Ed.
He owes me $20.
As he leaves, Ed leans close to speak quietly into Steed's ear.
Don't let them get to you. They're trying to rally you up. To rise to the bait, and you'll leave them disappointed.
Steed nods. I know. I'm trying. He meets Ed's eyes, his gaze soft and warm. I'm glad you're here with me. Ed's chest tightens. Steed slips his arms around Ed's waist just as a woman with platinum blonde hair and scarlet lipstick approaches them.
Steed! She shrieks. So lovely to see you!
Steed sighs. Tiffany. At Tiffany's expectant stare, he continues. This is my boyfriend, Ed.
Charmed!
Tiffany looks Steed and Ed both over appraisingly.
Well, don't you both look absolutely marvelous?
Her eyes linger on Ed, and she leans in conspiratorially to murmur to Steed.
Wherever did you find him? So wonderfully exotic.
Ed feels a quick flush of anger, but lets it dissipate with a breath, even as Steed's fingers press more firmly against his back. But then Tiffany reaches toward Ed's beard, saying, So rugged, too. Ed jerks away before she can touch him. Steed begins dragging him away, not even bothering to make excuses to Tiffany. Steed quickly finds a set of French doors and bursts through them onto an expansive balcony with curving stairs leading to a lush garden. Strings of lights woven through the bushes and crisscrossing overhead cast a warm golden glow over the scene, even though the air is cold. Steed turns, his chest heaving with breath and a flush high on his cheeks.
I'm so sorry, Ed, he says. I never should have dragged you into this. I was prepared for these people to be awful to me, but I should have thought about how they'd treat you.
Nah, mate, it's fine. Ed shakes his head. I've handled worse.
Yes, but you shouldn't have to.
Steed's eyes sparkle with righteous fury. Ed knows he ought to be angry with Tiffany, with Chauncey and Nigel, with the whole lot of them, but all he can think is how fantastic anger looks on Steed. And what a dangerous thought that is. Ed steps closer, fighting the urge to cup Steed's face in his hands, instead settling them on his shoulders.
Remember, you're doing this for Alma and Lewis. Think about them, not about these assholes.
He squeezes Steed's shoulders gently.
You're better than these people. Don't give them your attention.
Steed closes his eyes and nods. Yes, of course, you're right. He reaches up and places a hand over Ed's on his shoulder. Thank you for reminding me of that. They're so close. and Steed's touch is so warm. It would take so little now for Ed to lean in just a bit and bring their lips together. Perhaps it would even help the charade if someone happened to look out at the balcony, just as it would shatter Ed's heart to know Steed didn't mean it. So he turns his hand over to take Steed's in it once again and leads them back inside. The night seems to drag by as they play nice with the haughty elite. Ed finds it rather easy to put on the socially acceptable mask, laugh when they make jokes, hum and nod in agreement when they ramble about work or family or each other, throw in shallow little compliments every now and then. A much greater challenge is ignoring the heavy warmth of Steed's hand where it touches Ed, which is demanding more and more of Ed's attention. Steed's hand settles low on Ed's back, moves up to rest on his shoulder, strokes across the back of his neck. Ed's own hands are equally exploring, and he finds that Steed often leans into his touch. When Steed leans fully against Ed, their bodies touching from shoulder to knee, Ed loses the thread of conversation completely. Ed, a woman with a gemstone on her finger the size of a grape is looking at Ed expectantly.
Sorry, my mind drifted away for a moment. What were you saying?
She laughs without smiling. I was just saying that it's very brave of Steed to become gay so late in life, don't you think? Ed blinks rapidly, trying to come up with a response that won't ruin Alma and Lewis's chances of ever getting into a decent school. He's saved from having to find the right words by a large screen beginning a countdown timer at 60 seconds, drawing the attention of the entire room. Midnight. In 1 minute. When every couple at this party will kiss their date. Ed turns away from the timer to look at Steve, whose expression has become completely unreadable. Ed feels many faces turn toward them, no doubt eagerly anticipating the spectacle of two men kissing to ring in the new year. But all Ed can think about is Steed's lips on his own, Steed's warm body against his, Steed's fingers in his hair and his tongue in Ed's mouth and his breath in Ed's lungs. There will be no coming back from that. Once Steed's kiss touches Ed's lips, Ed will belong to him and him alone forever. Ed knows. He will be completely, utterly, irrevocably ruined. A worthy sacrifice, perhaps, if it meant being able to claim even the tiniest part of Steed's heart as his own. As it is, however, it spells only destruction. 10! The partygoers begin to chant. Ed's heart stutters. 9! Steed's eyes flip back and forth between Ed's, as if searching for something. 8! Ed's gaze falls to Steed's lips, and he finds he can't tear it away. 7! Steed's hand comes up to rest on Ed's chest, shooting sparks down his spine. 6! A rushing noise fills Ed's ears as Steed leans closer, his bright gaze now on Ed's lips. 5! Ed can't take it anymore. He turns and bolts for the balcony, stumbling through the crowd, muttering apologies as he bumps into shoulders and elbows. Finally, he staggers out into the crisp air, the countdown continuing behind him and then erupting into cheers as the new year is reached. Ed gulps several deep breaths of crisp air, letting the cold settle into him, ground him, return him to his senses. He clenches his fists to stop his hands from shaking and closes his eyes, willing his racing heart to slow. Ed? Steed's voice as he comes out to the balcony is cautious, tentative. Ed doesn't turn around, although he feels Steed approach.
Steed, I'm sorry. I really am. I know people will talk. I know they were waiting for a show, but I can't kiss you. I just can't. I'm so sorry. I've ruined everything.
Steed is silent so long that Ed turns to see if he's still there. Steed stands unmoving, eyes on the ground.
It's all right, Steed says finally. I shouldn't have put you in this position. I'm sorry. Of course you wouldn't want to kiss me. It's stupid of me to think it. I understand.
Oh, fuck. Steed thinks Ed didn't want to kiss him.
No, you don't.
Steed looks up, his brows drawn together.
What? You don't understand.
Ed should probably stop talking. should probably guard his heart and its secrets, but he can't stand the hurt look on Steed's face.
I didn't run out here because I didn't want to kiss you. I came out here because I did.
You did, Steed echoes.
Yes.
Want to kiss me?
Yes.
So much. Steed frowns.
Why?
Ed huffs a laugh before he can stop himself.
Why?
Because Steed is the most brilliant person Ed has ever met. Because he's witty and clever, but also says the dumbest shit possible sometimes. Because he has wild ideas and isn't afraid to see them through. Because Ed can be fully, completely himself with Steed. Because Ed has never felt like this with anyone before. Because Ed is always happiest when he's with Steed. He takes a step towards Steed, standing close in front of him. He can feel the heat radiating from Steed's body in the cold night air. Steed's eyes, rich and deep and sparkling, search Ed's face. When Ed speaks, his voice is barely more than a whisper.
Because you make me happy.
Steed draws in a breath, a tiny gasp, his brows rising as he looks into Ed's eyes. Then his gaze drops once more to Ed's lips, and a shiver runs up Ed's spine that has nothing at all to do with the cold. Ed doesn't dare to hope, barely dares to breathe. Steed closes the distance between them and presses his lips to Ed's. Ed goes still from shock only for a moment, then wraps his arms around Steed and pulls him close. Steed's tongue flicks against Ed's lips, and Ed opens eagerly for him, letting the taste of Steed fill his mouth. Steed's arms wrap around Ed's shoulders, his fingers twining into the hair at Ed's neckline. This is happening. This is real and actually happening. It's not a game or an act or a dream. Steed is really, truly kissing him. Ed moans softly, and Steed hums in response, his hungry tongue slipping over and over into Ed's mouth. Ed is dizzy with it, the heady rush of Steed on his lips making the world tilt sideways. Finally, Steed pulls away, his eyes shining as he opens them, a smile on his lips.
Oh, he says softly.
Ed smiles back.
Yeah.
A golden lock of hair has fallen loose over Steed's eyes. Ed brushes it back, and Steed's smile widens.
Happy New Year, Steed says.
Happy New Year, Ed replies.
Everyone is looking at us, aren't they?
He can feel the stares. Probably, Steed says, not taking his eyes off Ed.
Well then, Ed says, grinning, might as well give them a show.
And he presses his lips to Steed's once more. The end.